This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So what's better than bad television drama? How about a real story so strange it seems almost made for TV?
Federal authorities are going public in their search to solve a more than 20-year mystery of the biggest art heist in history, the Gardner heist.
Federal agents now say they know who stole $500 million worth of art from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
Investigators say they now know where these paintings were taken when they left the museum, but they need the public's help to figure out where they are today.
Well, this week, the infamous decades-old art heist at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum took yet another Thomas Crown-esque twist. But while the theatrical whodunit continues to titillate, for a true art lover such as the Boston Globe's Sebastian Smee, the whole thing leaves him feeling deeply sad. Sebastian Smee is here. Welcome back to the show, Sebastian. But I just have to start by asking you, why sadness?
Well, I mean, it is just such a sad event. I mean, it is obviously an incredibly exciting story, and I get, you know, as stimulated as anyone by it. This incredible story of this massive art heist and all the sort of aspects to it, which are kind of ridiculous and comical and brazen and brutal. I mean, it was a shocking crime in many ways. But what gets forgotten so easily, I think, is why it matters. You know, what were these artworks? And what gets bandied around most often is the fact that they were worth apparently $500 million. Mm-hmm. But of course, what does that mean? I mean, we all know the art market is sort of absurd. and you know, those sorts of figures quite rightly invite skepticism. But the works themselves are incredibly important. Not all of them, by the way, but you know, those three or four main works of art are just wonderful works of art, and I can't help feeling their loss enormously.
Well, let's talk about what that does mean in more detail regarding some of the works, such as you've written about Rembrandt's The Sea of Galilee painting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Rembrandt to begin with. I mean, one of the greatest painters of all time, obviously. But even more importantly, it was his only known landscape.
Seascape,
beg your pardon. Yeah. I mean, a really amazing thing in itself. It's a big painting. It's full of drama. And, of course, it tells this story from the Bible. And in Rembrandt's inimitable way, he gets the moment of maximum sort of drama and intensity. And he does that through not only composition and lighting and facial expression and bodily expression, all these things that he's so well known for, but through his incredible touch with the brush. I mean, you know, he was the master of oil paint, and you can only really feel that and sense that and get the sort of majesty and intensity of it by being there in front of the picture itself.
So being in close physical proximity to sort of appreciate its size, its scale, and its
depth. I mean, I'm a firm believer that context really matters in art too, and there's that whole question of sort of going to the museum, being in that room, standing in front of it. I mean, these things can't be got from just looking at a photograph in a book.
Well, what about the fact that, I mean, we're living, not to say that there's an excuse for the fact that these works were stolen, but we're living in a day and age where, you know, I can go on Google and there's the Google Museums project, or there's high resolution scans of many of these pieces of artwork. I mean, I was just looking at the Rembrandt Sea of Galilee painting online today. That doesn't have the same sort of tactile, emotional connection for you?
It really doesn't, no. And it's because all of those things, no matter how high the resolution, they're a different medium. They're photography. And oil paint is about texture and palpability. And, you know, it's the thing itself. And it has an aura, and it's only by sort of standing in front of it that I think you get a real sense of that.
Let's talk about briefly another one of the artists and the works that were stolen, and that is Vermeer.
Yeah, Vermeer, who is, you know, Rembrandt's younger contemporary, such a special artist. I mean, he really sort of fell through the cracks of art history for a long time before he was rediscovered in the mid-19th century, but has now become one of the most popular artists of all time, and for good reason. I mean, his touch, again, so sensitive, but so different from Rembrandt. I mean, where Rembrandt is all about sort of texture and palpable sort of physicality, Vermeer is all incredibly sort of optical. I mean, you sort of get up close to his pictures and you can see that he's really using these little pinpricks of colored light that sometimes pull together and sometimes sort of disperse, and they give you the amazing feeling of the actual look of a wicker basket or a satin dress. I mean, it's incredibly evocative.
You have to wonder, after more than 20 years, in a location that no one still really knows or can confirm. The condition of these paintings has to be something that people are concerned about, that even if they are recovered, we don't know in what shape they're going to be and if they'll ever even hang on the walls of the Gardner again. So,
well, I mean, if they're found, they will, obviously. They'll be put straight back there. I mean, they've left these empty frames there. But, yeah, you're right. We don't know anything about their condition. And of course, there's the ongoing mystery of why they were stolen. What can you do with these stolen works? I mean, people say that they're virtually worthless because they're so famous. I don't know. I mean, maybe there are enough sort of underground connections and, you know, greedy Dr. No-like collectors who sort of desperately want to own these things. It's very hard to say, but there seems to be some worth to them.
What I hear you saying, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, that one of the reasons why you feel particularly emotional about this is that the public's opportunity to have personal appreciation of these triumphs of human creativity, that's what's missing.
Exactly. And that really is what they are. And you know, one of the works we haven't mentioned is the Manet painting as well. It's a wonderful picture by one of the great 19th century artists. It's not a masterpiece, you know, along the lines of the Rembrandts or the Vermeer, but it's a wonderful picture. And you know, once you sort of really love an artist, as I and so many other people love Manet, then you kind of love everything that they did. And there it is, here in Boston. It should be there in Boston, and it's gone. So it is very sad.
Well, Sebastian Smee is the Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe. We've got a link to his piece about the lost Gardner works at radioboston.org. Sebastian, it's always good to see you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Still ahead on the program, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author Ron Suskind on the legacy of the U.S. war in Iraq 10 years after the American invasion began. Stick with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.